again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Bill Pearson's Song Encyclopedia.
First we have the Fleetwoods, a very successful group.
Dum dum da little dum do dum. Dum dum da little dum do dum.
Do you collect records?
Yes.
How many records do you have?
About 75.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if you didn't have this one in your collection, or maybe you were about to add it. It's one of the fastest-selling records in the country called Come Softly to Me. Ladies and gentlemen, hear the Fleetwood.
Dum, 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 do, dum, 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 dum,
Barbara.
And Gary.
Unforgettable 1470 WFNT, a show that Marty Natchez and I have been looking forward to for a long, long time. Today, we talk to Gretchen Christopher, who, along with classmate Barbara Ellis, founded the Fleetwoods, a true gem of American popular music at Olympia High School in the state of Washington.
Remember, when you have a dream, commit to that dream. Write down all you want to do. I'll take my pen in hand. Commit to a plan. And I will see my dream come true. Write down steps that will lead the way. Write down what I can do today. Write down victory when that is done. Right now, soon I'll be there and I'll have won.
Unforgettable 1470 WFNT, just one of the great tracks from the new Billboard Critics pick, Gretchen Christopher. Good morning, Gretchen.
Good morning, Bill.
And we can officially say good morning to you because of the three-hour time difference between here in Washington State.
Yes, it's just 10 o'clock here.
I guess the wake-up call from Marty worked, huh?
It did.
But tell me what almost happened there, with your telephone, your cell phone.
Oh, my gosh. Marty said, I'm going to call you on your cell phone at your mom's and then have you phone back on the station number that we give you.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt alarm when he said cell phone, but it wasn't until I started driving to my mom's that I realized why. I had attached my cell phone to my ski suit and thrown it in the washing machine the night before. So I... My phone does not work, my cell phone.
No wonder you sound like you're underwater this morning.
Right.
Oh, I'll tell you what. We want to bring Marty Natchez in here, a person that we can definitely say is a mutual friend of ours. Hiya, Marty.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Gretchen.
Hi, Marty.
We're glad to finally connect, and we have a very interesting show planned. So we're not going to ask the usual questions that most radio people and media people want to know from you, because you know those answers by rote. But we'll take a slightly different angle, particularly about the very first time that you performed Come Softly in front of your senior class way back in 1959. What do you recall about that performance?
Oh, my goodness. Well, the performance itself, or the creation of the song?
The reaction to the crowd and your...
Okay, well, I was singing these lyrics and music that I had written, and Barbara was harmonizing with me, and Gary was dum-dum-dum-doo-dum behind us. He was our only accompaniment. Otherwise, it was a cappella. And at the end, I got this urge to be dramatic, and so I leaned into the microphone and said, come. And there was this additional moment of silence, and then the crowd went wild, and they seemed to love the song. And we scampered off stage, and Barbara said, Gretchen, you can't say that. And I said, why not? And whatever she said, I didn't believe her. That was the beginning of Come Softly to Me. That was our debut performance.
And one of the real treats on the new CD is the fact that for the first time you present Come Softly as it was originally performed a cappella.
Right, right. And in the key that I originally wrote it, which was the key of C. And I think on the recording that we did commercially, I think, you know, we recorded a cappella. And I think that probably Gary had a little stage fright and his voice tightened up and went up a half step to D flat. And so that's the key of the hit recording, which is all dark keys instead of all white keys, and or pretty much.
Yeah. Now, you weren't always Fleetwoods, though, right? You were, what, two girls and a guy back in the early days?
Yeah, I think probably that's the way I asked them to introduce us for the senior class thing, you know, two girls and a guy. And then for that senior class talent assembly at Olympia High School.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bob called me after we'd been recording for all summer and said, well, the record's almost ready to release, but we need a name for the group. And he had just asked the operator for Fleetwood 27312 or whatever the number was. And so that was on his mind, and I said, well, how about two girls and a guy? You know, what's wrong with two girls and a guy? And he said, well, we need something more distinctive. How about the Fleetwoods? So,
You know, Gretchen, there have been a lot of people that have covered your song, Come Softly to Me, including Bobby Vinton, Paul and Paula, Richard Barrett and the Chantels. A British singer by the name of Craig Douglas had a nice version of the song. Johnny Tillotson. Can you got some other ones in mind too, Marty? That
The Roaches, who had their version in the motion picture Crossing to Lancy. Jane Oliver, who is one of Gretchen's best copy versions, in her opinion. A wonderful version of the song is done by an R&B group called the Delta Rhythm Boys. They even made a scopatone that you can see on YouTube, and I highly recommend that people take a look at that. The New Seekers in the 70s, they did a fantastic version, and a real collector's item is a recording by Billy and Sue, alias Leslie Gore and Oliver, produced by Bob Crewe.
I didn't know about that one. And I have copies of recordings from Germany and sheet music from France and New Zealand and Austria or Australia. Just wonderful relics that were going to be thrown out of the Dalton office and the Cornerstone Publishing office when the company moved from Seattle to Hollywood. And I am so glad that I was able to salvage some of those things, and I certainly wish that I had more, because it's history that we just wouldn't know otherwise.
Well, Gretchen, let's bring back a few memories here from Come Softly to Me as we hear from Gretchen Christopher and The Tokens.
Come softly, darling. Come softly, darling. Come softly, darling. Come softly, darling.
Down, 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 down,
Unforgettable 1470 WFNT. We should mention that the original Come Softly to Me was included in the soundtracks of the Academy Award-nominated movies Diner, in 1982 and Stand By Me in 1986. Bill Pearson along with Marty Natchez on a very special edition of the Song Encyclopedia. After the break, we're going to hear Gary introduce Mr. Blue, and then we'll bring in kind of a parody by the Four Preps.
Flint's Unforgettable AM 1470.
Our guardian star lost all his glow the day that I lost you. He lost all his glitter the day you said no, and his silver turned to blue. Hi, Mr. Blue. When I say I'm freezing, just turn around, head for the warmth of town. I'm freezing through and through. Call me Mr. Blue.
Unforgettable 1470 WFNT, and those were the Four Preps, the More Money for You and Me medley. Gretchen, I'm wondering what you and Barbara and Gary thought when you heard this version on the radio.
Well, I don't think I heard it on the radio, but I have it on an album. Maybe I heard it on the radio, but we weren't together when we heard it. Do you know what year that was released?
Bill?
Let's see. More Money for You and Me medley had to be right around, what, 1960?
61, maybe.
61, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, we didn't hear it till much later. At least I didn't. And I believe I have it on an LP. And I just got a big kick out of it. I think it's terrific.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, right, Gretchen?
Absolutely.
As long as they send you the checks, that's all you care about.
Yeah.
Gretchen, you've always noted that Gary was a trumpet player in high school, but did he also have serious aspirations like you did to be a singer, or was it just a fluke that he became the best-known voice of the Fleetwoods?
It was just a fluke. No, Gary had aspirations to work on cars, and his most wonderful dream would have been to have his own garage for cars. Barbara's was to be a housewife and have children, which she ultimately realized. I was the only one that was committed to a career in the arts, and I made my commitment in writing in my senior class for socioeconomics. We were required to write a paper projecting success in our chosen field after first researching it and finding out if people thought that we could succeed in it and, you know, taking a very realistic look and having people evaluate our strengths and weaknesses as to whether one could succeed in that field. So, no, mine was a solo thing, and the whole Fleetwood thing was kind of a fluke. And I call it a magic carpet ride, and Gary and Barbara were along for the ride.
Well, high school was a great time. Now, might you be having your 50th high school reunion this year?
Can you believe it? I never thought I'd be looking back on 50 years of anything.
How have the Fleetwoods been honored at Olympia High School?
Well, as a matter of fact, in 2005, we were inducted into the Olympia High School Alumni Hall of Fame, and I was the only one who attended, I mean, of the three of us, and in order for me to do it, I had to fly back from my recording session in Dallas, where I was recording Sweet 16, about eight of the songs from that, including the title song, Sweet 16, and so I thought I would perform either Come Softly to Me or else Sweet 16. Of course, Come Softly to Me started at Olympia High School as Come Softly, and Sweet 16 is about the romance that started at Olympia High School between myself at age 16 and my first love, who was 18. And at the sound check, I did both. I had the tracks from the studio for both songs, and I did a little bit of both, and these young people said, I was going to do Come Softly, and then somebody said, why don't you do that other song? That was really neat. So I did Sweet 16. However, my brother said that was not a good choice because people there were expecting to hear the old familiar Come Softly, or comes softly to me.
Sort of like the old garden party thing with Rick Nelson, right? Everybody wants to hear the hits.
Right.
But, you know, your album is so balanced, Gretchen. I mean, there's so many different types in there. And, I mean, you're right on with the phrasing and the notes and everything. You haven't lost a step, kid, I'll tell you.
Oh, thank you. That's so good to hear.
And the reason the album is so special to Bill and myself, and also to you, is because we all have something in common, and that is that Bill is married to his high school sweetheart, as I am, and Vaz, who you were dating in high school, is currently your significant other.
Right. Back in my life, after almost 40 years apart.
Yeah, Sarah and I were apart for 30 years, so.
And Becky and I were apart for 37, although we didn't date in high school.
Oh, did you know each other in high school?
We knew each other in high school.
But didn't date.
Well, and didn't date.
You know, Gretchen, before I heard the album, I had my own thoughts as to why you called the album Sweet 16. And I thought because you really are 16, right? If you figured your birthdays counted in increments of one every 4 years.
That's right.
Since you are a leap year baby, you're still 16. I mean, you may have a 17th birthday looming here, but...
yes, I have. February 29th, only once every 4 years, but there's no denying it.
Do you normally celebrate the day before or the day after your birthday when you don't have a leap year?
Well, in a way, I don't. And as a child, I don't really remember what was done. Well, our family really wasn't very big on birthdays anyway. But people have asked, well, you know, do you consider it February 28th or March 1st? Which would you focus on? And I said, well, February has at least the right, you know, the right month to it. So maybe February 28th. But what I do on the off years, on the 3 years when I can't officially celebrate, is I have Pisces parties. Uh-huh. And I gather Pisces friends, and we celebrate everybody's birthday between February 20th and March 20th, or some people say the 19th to the 19th. And so that's delightful. And my first one was when I had been interviewed by a writer from the Seattle Times, Don Duncan. And I'm remembering back here probably 30 or 35 years. Anyway, it turned out he came to Olympia to interview me in my home, and it turned out that he was a Pisces, and so am I, and so is my father, and so is my son, and so was a sailing partner of my husband, and so I decided to have a Pisces party, and that's how it started.
Well, we're going to play Sweet 16 in just a minute, but before we do, I brought in a special message for you from Barbara Ellis.
It's your birthday.
Happy birthday.
May I say that I love you. And when you blow out all those candles, I hope your wish comes true.
Happy birthday, Gretchen.
Happy birthday, Gretchen.
You are so clever. And I've got shivers. That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Now, Barbara just had a birthday recently as well, correct?
And, right. Yeah. Hers was February 20th, and I phoned, and I put my little speakerphone in on the piano, and I sang my version of Happy Birthday to her and left my greetings on her message machine, and then I got an email back that she had received it and wishing me the same.
All right. Well, we want to play Sweet 16, though, from the Gretchen Christopher Suite, either spelled S-W-E-E-T or S-U-I-T-E, your preference here. This is this would have been a Pearson Platter pick back in my early days of radio, so let's do it, Rob.
I was 16, you were 18, the older man in my life. We fell in love for the very first time. Who knew it would last all your life? Now I'm sweet 16, you're my older man, like a couple of kids from the past. Laughter and love make our lives like a movie. Could our first love become our last? Yes, I'm sweet 16, you're my older man, but not just the same as before. No more, Mr. Blue, you've come softly to me, so our first love could grow even more.
Ain't love grand, huh? Unforgettable 1470 WFNT. Bill Pearson along with Marty Natchez and Gretchen Christopher of the Fleetwoods. Of course, everybody talks about Come Softly to Me and Mr. Blue, but the Fleetwoods had a bunch of other great hits, including He's the Great Imposter in the fall of 1961, a song co-written by Jackie DeShannon. And we're going to play a little bit of that, and we're also going to do a Great Imposters here of the Fleetwoods right after this.
AM 1470, WFNT.
Well, I went and lost her to the great imposter. I stood and watched her fall.
Watch her,
or they know the great imposter. Don't she know he's on the stage? It's not real, it's just a play. And he's playing the part that is soon to break her heart. Tomorrow's misery. Soon she'll learn her fate, but it'll be too late. All her friends, they just watch her.
Watch her.
For they know the great imposter.
All her friends, they just watch her.
Watch her.
For they know the great imposter.
Imposter.
And she's soon to join the roster.
Unforgettable 1470 WFNT with He's the Great Imposter. Those were two versions, a composite put together of the hit version that came out in 1961 and was also featured in the film, the Academy Award-winning film, American Graffiti, by the Fleetwoods, and we inserted a very rare recording, actually the songwriter's demo of He's the Great Imposter, that was written by Sharon Sheely and her then-songwriting partner Jackie DeShannon, whose real name is also Sharon Myers. That's Jackie DeShannon's real name. And they are the background singers on the demo. And before we went into that particular track, I was asking Gretchen about He's the Great Imposter, and Gretchen, you told me that you were unfamiliar with the demo, or you haven't heard it in ages?
I haven't heard it in ages, and I would love to have a copy of it. It's remarkable. I led the vocal arranging on most anything I didn't sing lead on, but on that particular song, Sharon and Jackie had done such a remarkably good job of arranging it that there was just, you know, there are some things that we added, but not a lot. We really stuck quite closely to their demo, at least for the inspiration. I notice it is interesting hearing you juxtapose the two versions, because when it comes back in, we are actually singing it a little faster than the demo, and of course there are markedly fewer instruments, or the instruments are more in the background, and Barbara and I are more up front on the part that you came back into.
And for everyone's information, do you recall who the lead singer was on the demo?
No.
That was Jim Smith.
Who is Jim Smith?
Jim Smith was a boyfriend of Sharon Shealy's, and she gave him a different name, and he became a superstar in England. Does the name P.J. Proby ring a bell?
Oh, yes, because I helped choose that name.
You did?
Whoa. Yeah, we all had lunch together, or rather, P.J., but I didn't remember. His name was Jim Smith. And he asked me and the other couple of people that were with me, which do you think is better, P.J. Proby or D.J. Proby? And anyway, but I didn't remember his name was Jim Smith.
That's a great piece of trivia.
Yeah.
Well, as promised, it's time to rate an imposter. Gretchen, we're going to play two songs, small, short clips of two groups who attempted to sound like the Fleetwoods and be as successful as you were. Now, we're going to have you rate it from a score, a perfect score of 5 to a great performance, all the way down to 1 for a complete miss. And our first contestant is by the Spectres 3. It's a song called I Really Do.
Down, down, dee-doo-dee, down, dee-doo-dee, down, down.
You can't say it has a good beat and you can dance to it. Gretchen, give it a number. What did you think?
Well, I guess a 3, but you've got to let me explain.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's the one, but some fan called and left a message and he played part of a song, and I'm thinking maybe it was that, but maybe not. And he was sure it was the Fleetwoods, and he was wearing out his version, and he wanted to know where he could get another copy of it. And I said, that's not the Fleetwoods. And he said, yeah, that's Gary singing lead. And just like this recording, it was just dum dum be doo be doo way up front, you know, but no lyrics, no male lyrics. And unfortunately, on this recording, the girls who are singing lead are dialed way back. I couldn't even hear. I couldn't understand their lyrics, but they're the only ones that had lyrics. And as a song, I'd give it, you know, I'd rate it pretty low because it never went anywhere. It was pretty boring. All they copped from the Fleetwoods was the counterpoint.
Well, that's a real collector's item, produced by Phil Spector, by the way. That's why it's called the Spectres 3. Okay, time for contestant number 2. And this is close to home. Here's Come Softly to Me.
Dum, 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 do, dum, do, be, do, dum, 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 do, dum.
Softly, darling, come softly, darling.
I think if anybody was a Fleetwood's fan, they would say without a doubt, emphatically, that must be the Fleetwoods. But it isn't the hit version they remember. What's the story behind that recording? Because it is the Fleetwoods.
Right. It was a recording. For some reason, they wanted us to record it again when we were with Dalton and Liberty Records. Liberty had by this time bought the label. Dalton. And the producer, arranger, and I can't think of his name right this minute, I was sent that recording actually about 3 years ago, I think. And I felt that it was really poorly produced. I mean, I guess he was going for that sound of the 60s. As I hear it now over the radio, there's so much reverb, which is something that we really didn't need to indulge in. But I remember when I heard the version, it was almost laughable because Barbara and I were singing our part very seductively instead of being the innocents that we were when we originally recorded it at age 18.
Well, rating your own recording, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5?
Again, you can't exactly separate the recording from the arrangement, but I'll give it, well, if I give it a 3, that would be the same as the last recording, and it's certainly better than that, in my opinion.
So we have a tie. If my math is correct, we have 3s.
Or maybe a 4. I'll give it a 4.
After the commercial break, I'm going to bring Marty back, and we're going to talk about the Frank Sinatra connection here. That's
okay.
Coming up next.
AM 1470 WFNT.
Softly, I will leave you softly. For my heart would break if you should wake and see me go. So I leave you softly long before you miss me, long before your arms can.
Unforgettable 1470 WFNT with Frank Sinatra, Softly As I Leave You, which should take Gretchen back to the evening of July 17th, 1964, because she attended the recording session of Old Blue Eyes doing that song. What do you remember about witnessing history in the making there, Gretchen?
Well, we had just finished recording a Phil Spector teddy bear song. What was that?
To Know Him Is to Love Him.
To Know Him Is to Love Him. And I was singing lead on that, and I had difficulty with the bridge. I mean, I was fine in rehearsal and everything, but in the studio, for some reason, it goes very high for my voice. And I wasn't happy with the way that I did that. And so our session ended, and I ran down the hall to go to the restroom and lick my wounds, so to speak, cry. And I had my head down. I was crying, and I ran, literally ran, right into Frank Sinatra and hit him, my head down, looked up, and it was Frank Sinatra. And then I dodged into the ladies' room and just bawled. And wept my sad tears, and then I realized, well, gee, that's kind of neat. So Eddie Bracken, who had just done our session, was doing Frank Sinatra's, so I went into the studio and asked, into the control booth, and asked Eddie if I might sit in on Frank Sinatra's session, and Eddie said, sure, go right down there, see that row of chairs? He loves to have an audience, so just sit right down there. So I sat right down there and in the studio. You know,
what a wonderful, wonderful memory. I'm sure you treasure it.
I do, yes. And, you know, I really was not a Frank Sinatra fan in those days. But since music has been taken over by such hard rock and acid rock and this and that and the other thing, you know, I appreciate more and more the singers of the pre-rock era and the beautiful recording techniques, which were so pure and had such great separation, and they weren't just a mishmash of sound.
They don't record music like they used to, but they do on Gretchen's new CD, Gretchen's Sweet 16, which is available through Fleetwoods.com. And because Billboard gave it its critics' pick, it's not only a great album, it's an album for today, and every baby boomer who remembers the Fleetwoods will certainly enjoy your solo CD, your very first solo CD. Well, Gretchen, I hate to say it, but quote-unquote, our time is fleeting. Bill?
Yeah, and before we go, Gretchen, I do have to ask you, when's the last time the original members of the Fleetwoods performed together?
It was 1973 at the New York Academy of Music in New York City in June, in the first weekend of June. We had performed there 3 years before in June also. And we were interviewed by Norman Knight, and I confided to him that this was our last appearance together.
Well, it's sort of come full circle, I think, and we want to wrap up our interview with you with a Fleetwood song called Climb Every Mountain. I think this says it well. Again, thank you for rising early on a Sunday morning to be with us, Gretchen. Your whole album makes us smile, and thank you for being with us today,
Gretchen. Bye-bye, Gretchen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Climb every mountain, search high and low.
Listening to WFNT Flint, unforgettable AM 1470.